Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of our Magnum Opus podcast. And I am especially excited today because normally we get the most wonderful chances to interview the amazing faculty that works with Opus. But I actually get the scoop on this one because I get to talk to not only a faculty member, but three very, very interesting and very, very talented players. I think we all know them by now. I think we all recognize them. They are the amazing Golden Trio with the direction of Kathy Pirtle today. So can you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves for me? And then after you say your name, thank you for being here, by the way, go ahead and just tell us a little bit about why did you choose music and maybe why did you choose the instrument that you chose?
I am Sophia Radovic. I play the violin and I'm 16 years old.
And why do you...
I played music is because when I was in kindergarten, my best friend at the time, she played violin, and she's like, why don't you try out my violin for like the night? And I did, and I was like, I really want to play violin. And then after that, my mom got me my violin and we started lessons. And then like after that, it kind of went a little everywhere, and I really wanted to play every instrument. So now I play like four. So
wow. Okay, we're going to come back to that you play four different instruments.
So my name is Miriam Kessler. I'm 17 and I play the piano and the harp. I can't exactly remember why I started. I think my parents just wanted me to play an instrument. We had a piano in our house that my dad had played on. So I started piano when I was six, but then after that, we thought I should learn another instrument. So we picked the harp. We thought it would be super portable. We didn't really understand at the time that it isn't very portable. I mean, we started with one that was really small, just 26 strings, I think. But now it has 47 strings and it's 80 pounds. So I guess we didn't really think that through.
No turning back.
I know, we can't stop now.
All right. Hi, I'm Ian King. I'm 17 years old and I play the bass. I picked the bass because in elementary school, we got to try out a bunch of instruments. And I picked bass because it was the biggest and I ended up liking it.
And I'm Kathy Pirtle. And I started playing music when I was going to say probably in third grade, second grade. My parents bought me a little portable, like not a toy piano, but it might as well have been because I broke it. I played it so much that I broke it like in a month or something. So then they decided they needed to get me. I broke it because I played it so much. I wasn't hard on it. Then they got me an organ. A active pedal organ, and I started learning that. And then when I was in fifth grade, I got a clarinet. My mother played the clarinet. My grandfather also played the clarinet, not professionally. My grandfather was from Norway, and he played the clarinet in a little town band in northern Minnesota. So my mom said, you might like playing the clarinet. And so when I got the clarinet, I just like the little piano, I never could put it down. And I haven't put it down for, let's see, I'm going to have been playing it for 56 years. And I have not put it down.
That's awesome to break a piano because you played it so much. I think that's like a Guinness Book of World Records right there.
I don't know if the piano is a toy piano.
But still, break it from like overuse in a good way. So you guys, your Golden Trio here has sort of become a little bit of Opus famous because I feel like you perform at like every single event. And then you do other stuff outside of it. So I kind of want to go around the room again, and I can ask all four of you guys, but I specifically want to hear from our lovely trio. Why did you choose chamber music? Because the three of you are playing, and the three of you have been playing for, how long have the three of you been playing? Do you know how long? How many years?
2018. So
yeah, 4 years.
4 years.
Okay, so starting in 2018, so it's been about 4 years. So you guys could have honestly played with like a larger ensemble. You could have done solo work, or you could have just stuck with the full entire orchestra music. What really makes chamber music special for you guys?
Well, I like chamber because I feel like every person has a part and it's more important than when you play in an orchestra. Orchestra, you have like 25 people playing the same part, and if you know,
or you have like 400 rests if you're a harpist.
Yeah. Or yep, 400 rests.
Yeah, and so it's, I feel like it's more fun. You get to interact with people more. Where like in orchestra, I feel like you have to be quiet. You have to like listen to the conductor. Where here, you all like every member of the group is the conductor, and you don't have to like be told what to do. You know, you can decide all together on what to do.
You can choose your repertoire. You can decide even how you want to interpret the music. No one's making those decisions for you. It's all up to you as a group, which is really nice.
Yeah, chamber is really personal, and it's a great opportunity to play music with friends. So that's why I prefer it over other music styles.
Well, and I agree with everything that they're saying, because I've been playing chamber music in some form since I was in junior high. I had a woodwind quintet, and then I loved playing chamber music recitals as an undergraduate. In college, I was actually a music education major, but I gave, and this would be against the law now, I mean, at music school, I gave a chamber music recital twice a year. I mean, a full-fledged chamber music recital. I was only required to give one recital in 4 years. I gave two recitals every year of chamber music, and I just was addicted to chamber music. And I love playing everything else, but it was just like the passion of my musical vision. And now, having gone through what we've gone through in the last couple of years, I can say that there was a guardian angel guiding me to do this, because this is now chamber music and chamber music coaching and teaching privately are the only things that I'm doing. And if it wasn't for these most important things, my life would have become a standstill. Because the orchestras I was playing in, the orchestra I was in for 33 years as principal clarinet folded, right? I played the Mozart Clarinet Concerto in my 33rd year with the orchestra. That was the last concert of that orchestra.
Wow.
So this weekend is the first orchestra concert that I will have played with since February of 2020. I'm playing a Mozart Requiem. So I am not only grateful to play chamber music, it literally was divine providence that I have my own group. And I feel blessed that it's like having your own little business. I know, you know, I don't think of it as a business, but I am executive director. So I do have to do the business part of it. But when you are in the driver's seat of your musical life and nobody else tells you what you're going to do or when you're going to play or when the rehearse, you know, like, you know, they're in control. You're in control when it's chamber music, not only about artistic decisions, but also your musical life does not depend on anybody else. And I think now is an example of how important that is.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very well said. Now, I know that obviously music plays such an important role in all of our lives. And Kathy, that was great that what you said too about all this divine, wonderful inspiration too. For my trio members, do you guys think music is something that you want to pursue once you graduate high school? And if you've thought about it, do you know if you want to major in something that's different, or if you've really wanted to just pursue music composition or music teaching or music performance? What are you guys thinking?
Yeah, so during college, while I don't necessarily plan on pursuing music, it's still a great way to connect with the community, and I'm definitely still going to play during college and likely after.
Very, very nice.
I'm definitely going to pursue music in college along with like other like degrees. But like, I just think that we work so hard. We should like be able to like get a degree and like say that I've got something. I have something to show for music. And So that was like a part of my life.
I'll play also studying music in college, definitely harp performance. I'm also really interested in composition, so I'll try to keep that up. Maybe think about doing that in the future.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to note that even for musicians as talented as you guys, music doesn't have to be like the number one thing that you do. There can be so many other things out there. You could study rocket science and just play bass on the side, or you could do honestly anything. And that's a really, really cool part about music too. So my next question for you guys is, has there been a piece of yours that really was like, oh my gosh, before I graduate and move away from everybody, I have to perform this. I have to play this as part of this trio. Was there some piece that you heard and you were just, yes, guys, we're doing this?
I have a piece that I really want to do, but it's a little complicated since Ian is playing the bass and not the cello, but I want to play the first one with the Schoenfeld Cafe music.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
So fun, but he says it's a little hard because he's playing it in the cello octave, but I really want to play that piece.
Sorry, Ian. You're going to have to buckle down and just do it, man.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you guys have pieces you want to play?
I've always been interested in the trio in F sharp minor. I think that's what's called by Cesar Franck. Mm-hmm. Ever since I started chamber music, I used to listen to that piece. And the piano part is so interesting and it looks very difficult. So it's something I want to do eventually. And it just sounds wonderful. It's very interesting to listen to.
Yeah. For me, I kind of like Bach's organ trios a lot. So maybe doing that in like a trio form would be interesting. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's ever been done before. So. Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Breaking records. That is really, really cool. The fact that you guys even have pieces of music that you're thinking about and just the ideas churning behind your head. Absolutely. Absolutely. Kathy, is there a favorite piece of yours that have you ever played a piece with a harp before in a small chamber setting that you're just like, oh my gosh, if I could perform this again, I absolutely would.
Well, yeah, I played the Vaughan Williams. Name. It's just beautiful folks. It's a folk song suite. There we go. Folk song suite.
Oh, sure.
There's a version for clarinet and harp that I have done, and I really loved playing it. And then there's been several pieces I've done with harp. And again, the names, I'm the Victorian Kitchen Garden pieces are beautiful. I don't know if you've heard of those. They are famous. You know, they were on television. But the harp accompaniment I really enjoy. They're such beautiful pieces. So, I mean, and I'm lucky because of the fact that after 30 years of playing in this chamber group, I've got to live my dream pieces almost. I dream, it's like it can come true.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have another question for you guys. And we talked a little bit about chamber music before, like what makes it really cool and kind of pulls you in. But what are some of the biggest differences from chamber music and full orchestra music? Because if you think about the way our education system is set up, the majority of students only experience a full ensemble, whether that's band or orchestra or choir, right? But what Opus does is we like to narrow that scope down a lot, and we like to focus on the smaller nitty-gritties, 4 to 6 musicians, sometimes trios, and really focus on the littler stuff. So what makes the full orchestra setting way different than the smaller, more intimate chamber music setting?
Well, a big thing is that there's no conductor when you're in chamber music. And since usually they're just an orchestra, you can have lots of people on one part, but with chamber, it's always just one person in a part. So you can really grow as a soloist. You can make more choices for yourself.
Yeah. And what maybe makes it challenging when there's no conductor?
You guys you have to like communicate more, not just with the conductor, to communicate with every person in the group, which in like, you know, at like match articulation, like dynamics and phrasing.
Yeah, big time. You have to keep time with each other. Tempo is like super, super important. Absolutely. What else makes it different?
Yeah, so in an orchestra, you're hiding behind a lot of players, but then once you get to chamber music, it's like you're really exposed, so you really have to know your part.
Yeah, I give this group such accolades, but having a bass on the cello line is some of the most impressive playing I've heard for a student at your age. I know you're not a little kid, but that you pursued this on the bass is, and that you guys were you guys like it. I'm just so impressed with this group. I want to say that what we worked on tonight in rehearsal was freedom of creating their own version. And I know in Orion, that has been a very exciting thing to do because we don't try to be like anybody else. And that's, I think the problem with being a coach for a group is the person coaching you will have their own experience on how they played it or how they heard it in a recording. And as a clarinet player tonight, I was asking them to be much more creative and exciting in their concept of how they approach this piece that they're playing, which is, you know, Beethoven Trio. And, you know, I feel that is the beauty and magic of the Orion Ensemble all these years. We have done our, really literally decided our own thing. And So I was encouraging that this evening. And like, honestly, it's scary for me to coach a group that is so awesome. You know, I'm like, I'm just a clarinet player. But once we got into it, I got a lot of ideas on how to set them free out of the cage that I felt like they were in when we started the rehearsal. But there again, even as a coach, if I told him, if you don't like what we created tonight, just say no. No, I don't want to do that anymore. It's still your thing. But what I think this is what makes chamber music, besides everything else we know about it, this is what makes chamber music so magical. I love that term. Because you literally can take as much license in your interpretation and nobody's going to be yelling at you about that in the end. Like, you know, even if all the coaches in the world say thou shalt not do this because I said so, you could say in rehearsal, well, we don't like that. And we're not going to do that because we want to do this instead. And you just magically go out on stage and you do it. There's your teacher feeling helpless and like, how could they? And you just did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that is a beautiful thing about chamber music. Nobody is going to hold a hammer over your head. And even if they try, as a coach, you have to say, but we really like to play it this way. And we really like it because we feel it that way. So just let us be.
Yeah. So much freedom and originality. I really like some of the points you said, Kathy, that, you know, you come in as a coach and you coach a specific way because maybe you heard a recording this way or whatever, but it's got so much freedom to it. And I think that's just absolutely phenomenal. Wrapping up a little bit here, tell us a little bit more about what you guys were rehearsing for. So it's currently 9 o'clock at night on a Friday, and you guys all joined together to tackle this piece. Can you tell us what you're rehearsing for, if there's an upcoming concert? And you mentioned a little bit about the title of the piece, but what are you guys playing?
We're playing the Beethoven piano trio in C minor.
Opus 1, number 3, I think.
Yeah, opus 1, number 3, and fourth movement. So it's like the firing movement. And we're practicing this because we're going to play at the Orion chamber recital. So like we're going to play at their concert. So
yeah, they're going to play in our concert on May 8th at the at the New England Congregational Church in Aurora, which is a beautiful chamber music space. And it is going to be glorious because I'm playing the Mozart clarinet quintet and the strings are playing the Borodin's string quartet, and the Golden Trio is going to play right after intermission, and they're going to be loved and revered by our audience. They're going to be astounded at the beauty of this ensemble and what they've accomplished. So I love collaborating with our young musicians for our concerts because the opportunity it presents to play for people of this age to play for a real chamber music audience, that's very hard to find.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Congratulations, guys. Playing with Orion. Sign me up. If I could ever do that, I would 100% be number one out there. But that's awesome. Concert on May 8th. Very, very excited for everybody to be there.
7 o'clock, 7 p.m. Tickets that can be found on our website, orionensemble.org, or at the door.
Absolutely.
There's plenty of tickets for anybody who wants
all the way up to $655. I love it. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up and I'll let you guys go. But obviously working on such difficult music, you guys are probably practicing nonstop, but you have to be really efficient when you practice, right? So we can't just spend 8 hours doing something simple or maybe silly. So can I ask each of you guys, what is one practice technique or one practice tip that you would want to share with somebody, like maybe share it with yourself from 6 years ago or something you've picked up from like, wow, I wish I knew that was the perfect way to practice scales. What do you guys think?
To be quite honest, we don't like practicing scales.
Ah, well, the truth comes out.
We try to avoid it whenever possible. But...
And why is that, if I can ask?
They're boring. Yes.
Ah.
They're boring.
So what are some techniques though?
Usually practice with a metronome, like the hard spots, or like break it down. So you know, like, oh, this is the problem I'm having a spot with, and then you just kind of drill that spot and then you kind of connect the measures. That's what I try to do most of the time.
Definitely. Metronome work, very, very helpful.
Yeah, so whenever I play scales, I definitely make sure to play them slowly because in my opinion, if you can't play it slow, then you can't play it fast. And music is all based on scales, so they're really important to know.
Yeah, I play scales every day. I do it because it helps to get my air going and just connecting notes and making the sound consistent all the way up and down the scale is a daily thing that I find helpful. And I do articulation. But in terms of practicing, I think it's you just have to be smart about practicing. Young students of mine, a lot of them will play all through a piece and then they'll go back to the beginning. And that's practice. I have to help them not to do that. You know, you really need to learn to just focus on small sections and then glue them all together that's the actually the most efficient way to practice than to just go through a whole movement. And then, you know, once you know it that well, well, that's different. But even when I know something really well, I'm still playing the more difficult passages as a warm up or a practice, a part of my practice before I'm going to go through a whole movement. And one thing I think is related to this is that once you do cut the piece in a million pieces every day, it is important to be able to have the stamina of concentration all the way through a movement. So that is absolutely necessary too. You can't just do piecemeal all the time and then expect to be able to have the ability to concentrate for however long the piece is. So just to practice concentrating that long, and also just stamina, getting used to that. Once you get to a certain level with the piece, you should be going all the way through it at that point. And if you have a problem, then you don't go back. Okay, I got to work on that part a lot more so that I don't fall apart when I get there. But if you've practiced carefully, like I'm talking about, you won't ever have a place that you are not able to manage it when you play through, because you've thought it out for so long as a small part that you are mastering it. And then when you put it together, it doesn't feel difficult because you've spent that time intimately learning those harder places.
Yeah.
To record yourself whenever you can, because sometimes you might think that you're rushing or you aren't rushing, or your dynamics are coming out more than they really are. So it's just important to, you can't always tell when you're in the moment playing the piece, but if you have a recording, you go back and listen and give yourself feedback, because you don't always have people to listen to.
Yeah, recordings never lie. And they're like, ooh, was I really playing that sharp? Or, you know, whatever it might be. So I love all those ideas. Practice with the metronome, play your scales. If you can play it slowly, you can play it fast. I love Kathy's idea of sort of that micro, macro, micro, the small, big, and then small idea. And then definitely record yourself when you're playing. You guys are absolutely phenomenal. I cannot wait until the concert with Orion on May 8th. And honestly, I can't wait until this new season in the 2022 gala. Are you guys excited for the 20th anniversary?
For sure.
All right, it's going to be awesome to play with you guys in person again. Really cannot wait. And a big thank you for lending me your time. Really, this has just been absolutely phenomenal. Any closing thoughts that you guys want to add?
Join Opus and practice.
Yeah. Well said. We're going to sing that from the mountains. You guys are absolutely phenomenal. Have a wonderful Friday night, and I will see you guys at our 2022 new gala.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.